Sounds True presents The Sophia Teachings with Robert Powell, Session 6.
With the 20th century, humanity has entered a new age, ushered in through the renewed presence of Christ, the parousia, a new age in which there is an unfolding of the divine feminine, an inflowing in her threefold aspect as mother, daughter, and holy soul. This is the background for understanding the events of the 20th century. In order to briefly summarize and characterize the main characteristics of this new age, we can think of the primary aspect of the birth of a higher state of consciousness, a spiritual consciousness, what we could call the birth of the divine I Am within, as being a first key characteristic of this new age, and that the divine Sophia is a being who works to help bring about this birth of the divine I Am within. A second key characteristic of the new age is the coming together in spiritual community, the forming of community in a free and individual way through mutual common spiritual interests. And it is here especially the divine feminine in her aspect as the holy soul who works as the inspirer and ensouling being of spiritual community. A third key characteristic of the new age is the awakening to the whole earth as a living being, to the earth as the divine mother, which is really the key challenge at the present time. If we think of how the whole thrust and direction of modern science and technology is leading to the creation of artificial worlds, cyberspace, which are removed from the kingdoms of nature, we can see how here there is an enormous challenge. On the one hand, the renewed presence of Christ is leading us towards an awakening to the Divine Mother, the Mother being who supports us through nature, through our whole life here on earth. And on the other hand, there is the development of technology leading us away from nature, away from the Divine Mother. This is, I would say, the key challenge which is confronting humanity at the present time, to work with science and technology in a way that human beings remain master, are able to use these incredibly powerful tools in a wise and careful way without becoming sucked into something that removes us from our true humanity, from our loving, caring, concerned selves. So this is quite a drama that is taking place at the present time. If we look at all the energy that is going into the setting up of a global communications network, a kind of vast electronic brain to encircle the planet, this can work to help humanity, or it could work to cut off humanity from the cosmos. This is an incredible danger with which we are now confronted. So the awakening to the Divine Mother is really the key to the whole spiritual impulse of our time that is pouring in now through the parousia of the Christ. And I see in the year 1999 a culmination of this inpouring in an event which we could describe as an opening of the entire planet to become a vessel, a grail vessel, to receive a new outpouring of divine life. This is an extraordinary event which will help to rejuvenate the whole of nature, and it is an event in which we ourselves can participate if we are not drawn off to become cut off from nature. This major spiritual event coming in the year 1999 will work on into the future as a new power, a new enlivening of the whole of nature. It will signify the calling forth from the depths of the earth, the lost kingdom of Shambhala, the golden realm of the Divine Mother in the heart of the earth. This kingdom will be called up through this event, and more human beings will begin to find access to the kingdom of Shambhala, will begin to experience a paradisical quality in relation to nature, will begin to feel a new sense of oneness and connectedness with the whole planet. So this is an event that will help to shape the future as we cross the threshold into the new millennium. I think it would be possible to describe this as a new experience of what is called in the Chinese religion of Taoism, the Tao, as the mother of all things. Tao in this ancient Chinese religion is an experience of oneness with nature, an experience of the harmony between heaven and earth, so that in the Tao religion, human beings could experience in the sighing of the wind, in the falling of the rain, in the sounds of water rushing through streams, could experience an essential oneness with nature. Something of this experience is becoming accessible now through this reawakening of the Divine Mother that is taking place in our time. So the new experience of Shambhala, of the Divine Mother, will be a new experience of the Tao. And this sense of harmony will help to counterbalance the extraordinary imbalance that has arisen in the relationship between humanity and nature. This is, on a spiritual level, an answer to the ecological crisis of our time. But it all depends upon whether humanity is open in heart and mind for this new experience. Without some such experience, I think it's easy to see that there will be a dramatic ecological crisis, that the crisis of ecology, this imbalance will grow stronger. So this is a chance for humanity to find a new orientation and new relationship to the world of nature. In order to have an understanding of how this experience will impress itself upon us, if we begin to attune to the world of nature, not only I but many other people have begun to experience a new sense of vibrancy, a new quality of light within nature. This is one of the characteristics pointing to this awakening that is taking place upon this planet. One friend of mine described a recent experience he had where he could see the inpouring of light into nature and the appearance of nature as a great feminine being. He described it in his own words, an image of the goddess Artemis suddenly awoke within him. This and other spiritual experiences point to the event that I'm talking of this reawakening of the Divine Mother. The various mystery centers dedicated to the Divine Mother in the ancient world, Artemis in Ephesus, Demeter in Eleusis, are now becoming raised up in human consciousness to become accessible experiences again. Another awakening to the earth as a whole being is possible if one looks upon the different regions of the earth as organs in the body of the Divine Mother. In this vision of the globe as a living being, Africa appears as the heart of Mother Earth, the Pacific Ocean as the womb of Mother Earth, and the great mountain chain extending down from Alaska through the Rocky Mountains, down through the Andes to the tip of South America, appears as the spinal column of Mother Earth, making the region of these mountains extremely important centers for the unfolding of the new consciousness of Mother Earth as a living being. This is one way in which we can begin to awaken to the earth as a living being, if we look upon the different countries as embodying different aspects or different organs relating to the earth. Of course, this awakening to the earth as a living being is not something that we can expect to be reported in the news. It is an individual experience, a mystical experience, but one that more and more people are coming to have. As a help or orientation towards this experience, I'd like to refer to a profound and wonderful meditation that Rudolf Steiner gave, referring to the Divine Mother. In this meditation, she can be conceived of as a living, feeling being who is the spiritual origin of all matter. Here is this meditation on the Divine Mother as the mother of everything living, where she speaks in her own words to humanity. If you seek me with true desire for knowledge, I shall be with you. I am the seed and the source of your visible world. I am the ocean of light in which your soul lives. I am the ruler of space. I am the creator of cycles of time. Fire, air, light, water, and earth obey me. Feel me as the spiritual origin of all matter. And as I have no consort on earth, call me Maya. In this last line, we have a reference to the fact that as long as we do not see the earth as a living being, we are living in Maya, illusion, and that through awakening to the earth as a living being, we become true companions of the Divine Mother. This meditation also points to the awakening to the Mother as the ruler of space and the creator of cycles of time, that we are sustained by the Mother in the ocean of light, and that all the elements of nature, fire, air, light, water, and earth, obey her. This meditation can help as an inner guide to this awakening to the vastness and majesty of the Divine Mother. And I can recommend meditating upon these words every day and allowing them to become a source of inspiration in our daily relating to the universe and to the whole world of nature around us, to experience the beingness, the I-ness, the individuality or the person, if you will, of the Divine Feminine. Let's hear once again the words of the Divine Mother spoken to each one of us. If you seek me with true desire for knowledge, I shall be with you. I am the seed and the source of your visible world. I am the ocean of light in which your soul lives. I am the ruler of space. I am the creator of cycles of time. Fire, air, light, water, and earth obey me. Feel me as the spiritual origin of all matter. And as I have no consort on earth, call me Maya. Looking at the different world religions I've already referred to, Taoism, we find also in Hinduism that there is a clear knowledge of the Divine Mother, whose outer aspect manifests itself as Mother Nature or Mother Earth. Here, with a quote from Sri Aurobindo, one of the finest representatives in the 20th century of the Hindu spiritual tradition. This is a quote from Sri Aurobindo's work, The Mother. The Universal Mother works out whatever is transmitted by her transcendent consciousness from the Supreme and enters into the worlds that she has made. Her presence fills and supports them with the Divine Spirit and the Divine all-sustaining force and delight without which they could not exist. That which we call nature or Prakriti is only her most outward executive aspect. Sri Aurobindo devotes a great hymn of praise to the Divine Mother and synthesizes the long tradition of India of devotion to the Divine Mother as the creative being who sustains us here in our existence upon the earth. Sri Aurobindo also points to the wisdom aspect of the Divine Feminine in words which remind us of the Sophia texts in the Old Testament. For Sri Aurobindo, the divine wisdom is Maheshwari. Maheshwari is seated in the wideness above the thinking mind and will, and sublimates and greatens them into wisdom and largeness, or floods with a splendor beyond them. For she is the mighty and wise one who opens us to the supramental infinities and cosmic vastness, to the grandeur of the supreme light, to a treasure house of miraculous knowledge, to the measureless movement of the Mother's eternal forces. Tranquil is she, and wonderful, great and calm forever. Nothing can move her, because all wisdom is in her. Sri Aurobindo, who lived from 1872 to 1950, is cited here as a modern representative of Hinduism. Of course, there are many others belonging to the Hindu spiritual stream to whom reference could be made. Another important figure is Ramakrishna from the 19th century, who dedicated his life to that aspect of the Divine Feminine spoken of in Hinduism as Kali, the consort of Shiva. Kali is the female counterpart of Shiva. Also, we can think of the rich and wonderful reference in the Hindu tradition to Radha, the consort of Krishna, the central figure of the Hindu religion. According to the Brahma Vavata Purana, Radha is the force that leads across the ocean of world of change, samsara. She is the holy wisdom of all that exists. Again, in Buddhism, Prajna corresponds to the Hindu Shakti. The hymn to Prajna Paramita is a hymn in praise of perfect wisdom, or divine Sophia, who manifests in Buddhism as the goddess Tara, of whom numerous representations in her various forms are to be found. Thank you. reading the Hymn to Perfect Wisdom of the Buddhist tradition, or reading the great hymn or liturgy of the 108 names of Holy Tara, we find an astonishing similarity to the words of the books of wisdom in the Old Testament referring to Divine Sophia. In fact, the similarity between the texts is almost perplexing. It seems unlikely that any borrowing took place. Though if this has been the case, the Buddhist Mahayana texts, which appeared later, would have been influenced by the Old Testament. Considering the philosophical differences of the two traditions, it is more likely that any apparent similarity is due to a common experience of the one eternal wisdom whose delight is in humanity and who holds sway over every nation, entering age after age into human souls. In their yearning for wisdom, great seekers and seers found and beheld her. In the Buddhist tradition, the goddess Tara, as a representative of Divine Sophia, appears in different aspects as Arya Tara, the noble Tara, the one who leads over the sea of samsara to the otherworldly shore of Nirvana. There is also the image of Sitatapatra Tara, the thousandfold helper. She's depicted standing on a lotus and surrounded by a large flaming halo as the radiant white goddess. She has eyes of compassion which gaze upon all the beings of the different worlds. And then there is the Astamangala Devi, the goddess of the eight favourable signs, who promises happiness, who is rich in content and yet simple in form, whose creation and contemplation is meant to effect a sublime experience of the divine. She has four heads, signifying that she watches over all directions in order to keep her gaze on those who belong to her. She has a round banner, indicating that she is the world's axis and apex, the soul, mistress, and mother of the universe. Then there is the Syama Tara, the green Tara, who combines Indian and Chinese symbology. She is depicted seated in a relaxed meditational position, her upper body decorated with jewels. Her head is youthful and is crowned by a radiant diadem. All of these representations of the various goddesses from the Hindu and Buddhist traditions point to different aspects of the Divine Sophia. We can think of the aspect relating more to the quality of the heart, the quality of compassion, or we can think more of the aspect relating to enlightenment, to divine wisdom and knowledge. And then there is the aspect which is infused more into our action, into our will, which is a third level of manifestation of the different goddesses. So in the different world religions, Taoism, Hinduism, Buddhism, and also in other religions, we find the presence of the Divine Sophia, of the Divine Feminine, in her various aspects. And it is out of an understanding of this universality of Sophia that we can learn from all the different traditions and acquire an ever deeper love and knowledge and respect for the different traditions, for what they're able to convey to us concerning the Divine Feminine. In the Christian tradition, of course, the focus in referring to the Divine Feminine is upon the Virgin Mary. And as an indication that the Divine Feminine is beginning to flow in new and intensified activity in our time, I'd like to refer to the increased apparitions of the Virgin Mary taking place in our time. I see this as a counterpart to the manifestation of the Christ as a presence in the etheric worlds. I see the manifestations of the Virgin Mary as a sign of this activation of the Divine Feminine taking place in our time. Most commentators upon the manifestations of the Virgin Mary point back to the year 1830, to an appearance of the Virgin Mary in Paris, as the commencement of this new sequence of appearances or apparitions of Mary. Interestingly, the first few most important apparitions of Mary all took place in France, in 1830 in Paris, in 1846 on a mountain called La Salette near Grenoble, and in 1858 at Lourdes, where the Virgin Mary appeared to the young 18-year-old Bernadette and pointed out to her a place in a grotto where she should dig up the upper part of the soil. When Bernadette scooped away the soil, a spring began to issue forth from this point, and it was conveyed to Bernadette that this spring was a spring of holy water that had healing powers. In this apparition, we see the close relationship between Divine Sophia as the bearer of cosmic wisdom manifesting through the Virgin Mary and the Divine Mother, the living being of the earth. The Virgin Mary, as a bearer of the Divine Sophia, was able to point to the healing source of this spring to issue forth from the earth. Shortly after this, a blind person put the water on his eyes and was healed. And since that time, thousands and thousands of human beings have been healed through the healing water issuing forth from Lourdes, making this the most visited pilgrimage site of the Virgin Mary in the Western world. In the 20th century, an important apparition of the Virgin Mary took place at a little village in Portugal, Fatima, in 1917. At this apparition, which took place once a month over a period of 6 months, culminated with an appearance of the sun as a rotating wheel of coloured light. This vision was seen by thousands of people who had come to Fatima to experience the apparition of Mary. During this sequence of apparitions, Mary warned the young people to whom she manifested herself of a coming great catastrophe in Russia if there was not a change of heart. Shortly after, the Bolshevik Revolution broke out. Another significant apparition of the Virgin Mary I've referred to already, in Amsterdam, where she appeared as the Lady of All Nations or the Lady of All Peoples, and spoke of a new designation for herself in the future as co-redeemer alongside Jesus Christ. And there are signs that this prophecy of Mary made in her apparitions in Amsterdam may become realized in the not-too-distant future. Following the apparitions in Amsterdam between 1945 and 1959, another series of apparitions which gained worldwide attention began in 1981 in Yugoslavia, in the Bosnia region, in the little town of Medjugorje. Here, the Virgin Mary appeared to several young people and has continued since that time to appear to these young people, who are now, of course, grown up, has continued to manifest to these young people on a daily basis and has continued to communicate a message to the seers. The basic message we find over and over again given by the Virgin Mary to humanity is that we need to awaken, we need to return to our faith in the divine, we need to pray, we need to develop qualities of the heart, of love for our neighbours, and we need to become concerned about what is taking place in the world. The message of the Virgin Mary is, generally speaking, couched in very simple terms. These apparitions are often to children or people who have no advanced education. Yet nevertheless, this simple message is a basic message, one to reawaken to the divine and to return to an active relationship with the divine. In the meantime, millions of people have visited Medjugorje and have been touched in some way or other by the Virgin Mary in her manifestations there. Also in Medjugorje, there have been many healings. It's hardly possible to refer to all the apparitions of the Virgin Mary in recent times. There's been a veritable explosion of these apparitions, all of which points to an intensification in this time of crisis as we approach the end of the 20th century, an intensification of the inflowing of the Divine Feminine. And this is an important aspect, the apparitions of the Virgin Mary leading into the new age of the Divine Feminine that is beginning now. Part of the new understanding of Sophia in the New Age is the conception of her as the mother of humanity, as the link between the world religious traditions, as the world soul, and as the mother of creation, the source of all wisdom teachings, and as the inspiration behind conceptions relating to the Divine Feminine. Lastly, as the mediating link to universal salvation. Sophia is the mother, and the world traditions are her children. She binds them together into one family, whose members have been richly bestowed with individual gifts and graces. The relationship between the individual members of the different world traditions and religions should not be one of opposition, but of mutual appreciation and concern. We can learn to appreciate the knowledge of the mystery of God that each religious tradition has to offer. Within the Christian tradition, the opening to Sophia implies a willingness to open oneself to the revelation of the Logos and Sophia, to understand how the Logos incarnated into Jesus and how the Divine Sophia incarnated into Mary, and that together this incarnation effected the work of redemption and the divinization of humanity and creation, that we're all called upon to become part of the community of the Son and Daughter of God, that each one of us is called together into the great spiritual family of Christ and Sophia. Here I would like to bring a meditation to help deepen our feeling for Sophia in relation to the Logos, Sophia in relation to Mary.